Mark Maron. It's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, lurking conservatives. How are you? How are you, angry puppets? Cut those strings and run, my friend. Good morning, Mark Riley.
Good morning, Mark Maron.
If you're wondering out there where we are, we're at O'Neill's Restaurant on 64th Street between Broadway and Central Park West. Come on down. Mike has put out some bagels and lox. There's coffee and
Mike,
rolls.
Mike O'Neill.
There's tea and coffee. There's a huge audience for this hour, let me tell you. Yesterday, I do want to send out a couple of thanks. Yesterday was cookie day here at Morning Sedition.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to thank Rebecca for the cookie bouquet. Did you get a cookie from
I got a cookie from the cookie bouquet.
And also from Sun Ray, a baker. Because, you know, we have a lot of bakers who listen.
I know.
Especially on the West Coast, 3 in the morning, bakers and tweakers, speed addicts. Would like to thank Sun Ray, a baker up in Boston, who sent us a big box of cookies from Boston Cookies, vegan cookies. I ate 9, so that thanks is loaded with a certain amount of contempt. But I do appreciate the cookies. Feel
the
bad
cookies
about
were wonderful.
It. Yeah, they're all right.
Jim Earl even had one.
Yeah, they're good. The vegan cookies are good. So here we are. I'm so glad you guys are here again. I want to thank everybody for all the emails and everything else. I really appreciate the support. The show appreciates the support.
Yep.
Also, why don't we get let's get right into the news, Riley, because we don't have a lot of time for news today because we got a lot of funny coming.
Yeah.
We're going to push some buttons today, I think. We're going to push the First Amendment, certainly. Lisa Lampanelli is coming, so prepare yourself for that. I'm looking forward to seeing your reaction to Lisa Lampanelli. She's funny, but you know, you might go, ooh, is that right? Which I don't mind from people, you know what I'm saying? So let's talk about this. There's already reports coming out that, there's news reports, right? They're trying to make this guy, Samuel Alito, look like a decent guy. There's actually pictures of him touching Democrats. You know, some people are talking, like his aides are saying, he's a really sweet guy, very smart, scholarly fellow. They're trying to make the worst Supreme Court justice they could possibly nominate look like a decent person.
Well, they're using a very interesting strategy here.
Uh-huh.
Instead of walking Alito around to members of the Senate Judiciary Committee, who will be the people that will hear his nomination and conduct the hearings, like they did with Harriet Myers, instead they've been going around to centrist Democrats. Yesterday it was Ben Nelson from Nebraska. Today it's Mark Pryor from Arkansas. So they're walking around, and neither one of these people, by the way, are on the Judiciary Committee. So they're only going to vote for him when the full Senate comes. It's a change in strategy that the Republicans are using, trying to get some of these centrist Democrats who they have to, the Democrats depend on these folks if there's going to be a filibuster.
Well, I think the filibuster's already in the crapper. Basically you're saying that they're reaching out to these centrist Democrats, Republicans in Democrat clothes, many of them who are part of this gang of 14 who are going to be, you know, essential in trying to create a filibuster on some level or trying to create some momentum, but two of them are already, you know, on board with Samuel Alito.
Well, it's interesting. Dick Durbin from Illinois, certainly not generally perceived as a centrist, but the number two Democrat in the Senate, said it was way, way too early to even start talking about a filibuster.
Well, they're going to be talking today. The Gang of 14 is going to meet today, and if you don't know who they are, the Gang of 14, the 7 Republicans, John McCain, Lindsey Graham, John Warner, Olympia Snowe, Susan Collins, Mike DeWine, Lincoln Chafee, and of these, Graham, Collins, and Warner are not up for election in 2006. The others are 7 Democrats, Lieberman, Robert Byrd, Ben Nelson, Mary Landrieu, Daniel Inouye, Mark Pryor, Ken Salazar. Of these, Lieberman, Byrd, and Nilsen are up for election. So it's all politics with these guys. See, I believe that we should filibuster all of them. But you don't agree with me because we can't do that? Why not?
No, it's just that you want to pursue a strategy that has the best chance of winning. See, the Democrats have been in
that.
Yeah. You got to win. You got to beat somebody. You know, I mean, this is, you know, politics at its core is a competition. It is a contest between two different ways of looking at the world. And sooner or later, the Democrats are going to have to develop a strategy that wins. Now, I got to tell you, if you take all of Alito, see, because what people are doing now is separating stuff out. Well, what's his position on abortion? What's his position on civil rights? What's his position on the right to privacy? What's his position on the Fourth Amendment? You take them all together, and they spell unacceptable.
Yeah,
simple as that.
I tell you, man, I just learned something about myself, Riley. Yeah. Because you're talking about this competitive spirit, the idea that all of politics is a competition.
It is a competition.
Yeah, I just realized I might be, at some times in my life, I've been one of those guys where if it looks like I'm not going to win, I just say, hey, you know, this isn't going well. Can I hang out for a while? Is it okay if I just hang out? But look, there are, in all honesty, this guy is against reproductive freedom. He's against affirmative action. He's against gun control. He votes on the side of government almost always when it comes to justifying the violation of privacy in the name of interrogation and search and seizure. There's many indications that this guy is not Scalito. He's not Scalia light. He's actually to the right of Scalia, and that is completely, we cannot support that in any way. The question is, Riley, what do you do? If you're a Democrat out there, how do you get the message out to your senators that if you vote yes on this guy, I will never vote for you again? I mean, that's what has to happen because the people can't. What are they going
to
do?
Well, you do have to. You have to take that position. You have to put pressure where pressure can be brought to bear. For example, Lincoln Chafee is up for re-election next year. He is a moderate Republican in a state that regularly and routinely votes Democratic. In other words, he's a red state party in a blue state. Now, if he decides to go along with Alito, then perhaps the Democrats, because they got somebody they're running against him next year who looks like he's got some promise, then that seat could go to the Democrats as a result of and you have to bring that pressure to bear.
Well, that means that people that may not have voted in the last election that didn't think this was an important issue, that didn't realize that he was going to be able to at least nominate one Supreme Court justice. Now we got
two.
Hopefully that'll wake people up. In terms of the polls that came out yesterday, a Gallup poll, I mean, the nomination of Samuel Alito to the Supreme Court, there's a couple of things that are clear. All right, he gets about the same approval ratings overall as Harriet Myers, but that's, what is that? That's just nothing.
Nothing.
Exactly. But here's what's interesting. If you were to vote to reverse Roe v. Wade, Americans would not want the Senate to confirm him by 53% to 37%. So that's a huge margin.
That's a 16-point margin, and what it means is that the people that are trying to eliminate Roe v. Wade are in the minority. No matter how much they bleat, no matter how much they're on talk radio, no matter how much trash they talk on Bill O'Reilly, they are, in fact, the minority.
And this, that 53%... That 53% has got to include plenty of Republicans.
Yeah, it does include Republicans. In fact, there are organizations of pro-choice Republican women who are out here. The thing is, if this is going to be turned in the battle of public opinion, then you have to turn it where public opinion is, which means you have to buy television ads. And that's not just MoveOn.org. People of the Democratic National Committee, Howard Dean and them, are going to have to put some money where their mouths are in opposing this guy. Otherwise, they're going to start doing this little incremental paper cut kind of strategy, peeling off a couple of centrist Democrats here, peeling off a couple of other people there. And next thing you know, you will have a Supreme Court that will gut Roe v. Wade.
Well, but also, like, this is the thing I don't understand, is that there is so much money on the right. I mean, billions of dollars behind think tanks, behind propaganda campaigns, that this, not only should they should take advertising in any local area, in any state where one of these senators, these Democrats, you know, is up for reelection and say, you know, look, you know, if you vote this way, then we're not going to vote for you.
Yeah, well, you know, we talked yesterday about the decision he made in a case called Bray versus Marriott Hotels where a woman was suing for race discrimination.
Right.
And he cited, actually, he wrote a dissenting opinion. It was a three-judge panel, and the other two judges voted against him. His essential thing was, well, it's okay for people, for employers to treat employees unfairly. It doesn't necessarily rise to the level of racial discrimination. And if you look at the facts of the case, and I've actually gone back over and read the case, I mean, this is a knockout, slam dunk kind of case. So, you know, for this guy, between that and the Casey case where he said, and this is the most insulting ruling that a jurist could do, as far as I'm concerned, to say that a woman, before she has an abortion, has to get the permission of her husband is insulting to every woman in this country.
Well,
insulting.
And she also, she also has to... you know, it's almost as if saying that she's going to, you know, that is really just about, you know, ownership. It's about
control.
It's literally saying that, that if you're married to somebody, that guy owns you and you have no freedom to think on your own and make decisions on your own.
Absolutely. Cause you notice there's no vasectomy law in Pennsylvania, is there? What, you know, a husband doesn't have to get the permission of the wife before he gets his thing cut off.
For sterilization.
Yeah.
Well, they've tried that, but for different reasons.
Yeah, I know.
So I guess we should continue this conversation in a minute. We're going to get into these secret. There's an entire network of CIA prisons that are literally.
Ooh, this is some dirty business.
Black sites are called. It's basically a membership only prison system.
Yeah.
Where you show up if you have a membership card and a suspect, you get a towel and a locker. And but they're all over the place, and this is new news that people didn't know about. So we're going to get into that in a second. We're live at O'Neill's Restaurant up here on 64th Street in Broadway. It's 16 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley. You're listening to Morning Sedition.
Morning Sedition, delivering you from evil in 3 hours or less. Air America Radio.
I'm Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley.
Hi.
We're broadcasting live from O'Neill's Restaurant on 64th Street between Broadway and Central Park West. Come on down. We got Lisa Lampanelli coming up. We've got Mark Crispin Miller coming up. We got Jim Walcott coming up. We got it all. We got Lawton Smalls is going to be here.
Yeah.
Cardinal Milfington, Johnny K Street. They're all going to be here, so hang out. We got the iNews coming up in a second. I think we got another dispatch from Al Qaeda News in just a second.
Uh-oh.
But before we do that, coincidentally, let's talk about this story. We knew about extraordinary renditions. That's when the CIA or military intelligence basically kidnaps someone or takes a detainee on a trip to a country that will enable them to torture to get information, which we know doesn't work. Most of those countries are partners in torture with the United States, like Jordan and Egypt. What we didn't know, Riley, is that there is an entire network of secret underground covert prisons called black sites that have been sponsored by the CIA for the last 4 years in Thailand, Afghanistan, several former Soviet countries, some of them undisclosed. But these are free zones. This is where prisoners are taken and tortured at will, and no one knows anything about it. We knew about renditioning, but this is a new story.
This is a completely new story. They even had one small prison of this type at Guantanamo. It's since been closed.
A prison within a prison?
A prison within a prison where people go and they never, ever come out.
Wow. So this enables them to get past all of international rules in terms of having a charge, having to honor any human rights, having to even, you know, have a record of these prisoners being taken. And this is in light of the fact now with this new with the bill passed by the Senate, the amendment passed by the Senate, the McCain thing, where, you know, it's clear that no one wants to condone this kind of behavior, and no one knew about this behavior, and apparently only the presidents of the countries that these black sites are in actually knew that they existed.
Absolutely. And most people will never know who exactly is in them. According to the piece in the Washington Post, there are about 100 people that are incarcerated this way. Now, that may not seem like a very large number, but out of that 100, they say 30 are actual people of interest to them in terms of getting information. The other 70, they're not even really forthcoming about how they got there in the first place. These 70 people, according, again, to this article in the Washington Post, may not have any information that will be of value to the United States. But they're going to hold these people, and in some instances, they will hold them there until they die.
And talking about information that we hadn't heard before, an Al-Qaeda senior operative, you know, that is every Al-Qaeda member captured.
If they ever captured.
Yeah, escaped from the military prison at Bagram Air Force Base in Afghanistan in July. And it just got reported yesterday. In July, when a major Al-Qaeda operative gets captured, but they don't tell us because that works against them winning the whole war on terror thing. But the bottom line is that this information is being stifled all the time. And the only reason it came out yesterday was because lawyers got it out of an Army sergeant on trial in Texas for maltreating detainees in Afghanistan. So you feel safer? I don't know how many people have gotten away. I don't know what stories they tell. Sometimes I think that when they torture people, they're not only are they raising the level of terrorism in the world because the anger and who knows how the U.S. military is being used when they are being tortured. They could give the U.S. military false information that would send the signal to a network outside in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, somewhere, that, you know, some false lead that makes people in the organization go, okay, he's busted. We've got to move on. Who knows how we're being used? Let's do this real now. In a related story a couple of weeks ago, the Washington Post reported that Al-Qaeda was broadcasting Western-style newscasts on the Internet. The anchor was wearing a hood and had a gun pointed at the camera. It's pretty scary stuff, but luckily our crack investigative team managed to secure the latest broadcast of Al-Qaeda news. Can we hear that, please, Chris?
From across the nation, around the world, and under a burqa, this is Al-Qaeda News with hosts Muhammad and Mahmoud.
Good evening.
Boris!
I am Muhammad.
I am Mahmoud.
Tonight's top story. U.S. Vice President's Chief of Staff indicted. Branded criminal.
What's the big news? They're all criminals. George Bush, Ted Kennedy, Ross Perot. We indict them all. We already put them on trial. I pass sentence. Death!
In other news, a big shout-out to Harriet Myers for withdrawing her nomination to Supreme Court. Finally, she realized public office should be left to men.
That's a woman? Oh, boy. Then they wonder why we make them wear burqas.
Next up, the weather report with our weather girl, Tina.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Tina.
Tina, did you get the goats I sent you?
Oh, were those from you? That is so sweet. Well, in weather news, Florida is still recovering from Hurricane Wilma, which cut across the southern tip of the state.
And do you know where the hurricane came from?
Scientists believe it developed when warm ocean temperatures from the long summer we just
no!
had...
No! Hurricane came from Allah to strike down the great Satan! You will learn! Sorry, I never yell. I'm a completely different person off camera. If you could just give me a chance...
And that was Tina with the weather. We pause now for a message from sponsor.
Hello, I'm Larry King. If you're tired, run down, don't want flu, try Ester J.
Ester J?
J for jihad. It delivered jihad fast to bloodstream.
It stopped flu?
I already say it stopped flu. You don't listen, idiot.
You don't sound like Larry King.
I'm Larry King. You buy now.
We are back, and that is all for today on Al-Qaeda News. Remember, when news happens,
we caused it.
Bye-bye.
Take out the classic. That's one of those bits you're like, oh boy, this is bordering on wrong, isn't it? Yeah, why not? What do we have to lose? Hey, folks, we're at O'Neill's on 64th Street. What are they going to do, fire me? Hey, we're at O'Neill's on 64th Street between Broadway and Central Park West. Come on down, folks. It's good. There's a lot of people here, but there's room for more. We got free coffee, tea, breakfast, rolls, whatever you want. We'll be back with the Dream Diary. It's 27 past 92. Live at O'Neill's Restaurant up here on 64th Street between Broadway and Central Park West. Come on down. It is our last live broadcast, and now we got quite a crowd, about 900 people down here. So, look, Riley, it's time, you know, when you read the, sometimes when you read the headlines, it's hard to decipher what exactly the mainstream media is saying. So, luckily, we've got the iNews 5000 Wi-Fi headline translator. Let's crank it up and feed it some headlines. From the Seattle Times, Alito filibuster is unlikely. Alito filibuster is unlikely. Translation, Dems complain filibuster would require effort, purpose. From the Washington Post, oil executives to be asked to justify profits. Oil executives to be asked to justify profits. Translation, Cheney to explain portfolio. All right. From the Associated Press, study, male mice sing when female mice are near. Male mice sing when female mice are near. There's a couple options here on the machine. We have male mice rap when hoes are near. How about this? Most male mice are gay. Anything? Ba, 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 ba. right, there you go. So let's talk about this story, Riley. I need to know if it's right or wrong. You know, I have a problem with that sometimes. Some black Democratic leaders have said it is okay to throw Oreos at Lieutenant Governor Michael Steele during his run for Senate because he is a Republican. But not only throwing Oreo cookies, but calling him a Tom publicly. One website had him portrayed as a minstrel. And the black politicians, Democrats, some of them are saying, hey, it's part of the game, man.
Well, isn't that what Rove and them said? It's politics?
Yeah, well,
it's politics.
Okay, so politics.
Oreos, do-rags, the whole nine. You know?
So the hell with this guy. He's on the wrong side.
The guy is, he's been close to the seat of power in Maryland by being a conservative.
Yeah.
And he wears his conservative credentials on his sleeve. The fact of the matter is that a majority of people in the black community, an overwhelming majority of people in the black community, are not conservative. Now, I'm not speaking out of school here. Somebody wants to go do the math, go ahead. Trust me.
Look at the numbers.
Most black people are not conservative. Now, that doesn't mean that you necessarily have to, you know, disrespect the guy or whatever. You can disagree with him. But in this instance, when you have black conservatives who aggressively try to undercut and erode gains made during the civil rights era, and Michael Steele is one of them, along with that guy out in Ohio, Ken Blackwell, same cloth, then whatever happens, happens, as far as I'm concerned.
So then they get the official Tom stamp.
Well, yeah.
All and, right.
You know, God bless him. He Toms from the heart.
So it's interesting because there is a school of thought that believes that anybody who is black and a Republican is categorically, you know, out of school.
Well, no, that's not necessarily true. Remember that the history of this country, if you look at it very carefully, blacks voted Republican from the end of the Civil War, thanks to, of course, our good liberator Abraham Lincoln, right forward until actually the Depression in the early 1930s. And it was a traumatic experience for many blacks to start voting Democratic back then because the Democrats were solidly in the South. It was the Democrats that wouldn't sign a lynching bill, for example. Woodrow Wilson, who wouldn't sign an anti-lynching bill,
right,
was a Democrat.
Right.
So there's a long history there, and gradually speaking, from the 1930s forward, blacks became Democrats in large numbers. And the party, in fact, has adapted to, at least to the extent that black concerns are dealt with it on some superficial level. Because I'm not going to say that they deal with them well. They just deal with them on some of the Republicans don't even pay attention.
But aren't there some Republicans in the South that still won't sign a lynching bill?
Ask Michael Steele.
Yeah. I mean, but in general, I mean, it seems to me that now the Republicans, even if the Democrats were like that at one time, now it seems that the Republicans are you know, it's not even an argument, are entrenched in racist policy.
Well, what the Republicans try and sell, and this is something that every black conservative from Armstrong Williams to Michael Steele tries to sell, is that we, you know, the Republicans are the party of individual rights. They're, you know, there's not a racist bone in our body. I was in Philadelphia in 2000 when 4% of the delegates on the floor of the Republican National Convention were black. There was more black entertainment on the stage in Philadelphia in 2000 than there were out in that delegate pool.
So that's the way it always is, it seems. That's
Well, hey, I mean, this is the way they do their business. The Republicans came to power on the backs of trying to erode the gains that black people made. I hope, you know, most people don't want to debate that, but if somebody does, please step up.
But wasn't that the argument here with Michael Steele, was that he actually spoke or was part of a dinner or some sort of event that took place at a club that didn't even allow black people in?
Yeah, they kind of made him honorary white guy.
They gave him a day pass.
Look, you know, there are people who believe, and see, what's irritating to me is to see somebody like Condoleezza Rice, who says that, you know, racism was just a hiccup in the American stomach or in the American throat, and then she goes and speaks at a memorial service for Rosa Parks, a woman who stood for something, for God's sake.
Yeah, and speaking of that funeral took place yesterday. 4,000 people packed into the museum down there.
In Black Detroit, which is where she spent the bulk of her life after leaving Montgomery, Alabama, because she left because she couldn't find work. No one would hire Rosa Parks after she refused to give up her seat. She went to, and by the way, they threatened to bomb her house. They threatened all kinds of stuff against Rosa Parks. And as a seamstress, you know, seamstresses during that particular period of time in the segregated South could make a decent living because everybody needed their stuff sewn. So she could make that living, but no one down there would hire her to stitch anything.
Yeah. All right, so let's do this. We haven't done one of these in a while. You know, my therapist asked me to write down my dreams, so here's a dream diary for today. I'm in a Senate hearing chamber, and sitting up in the head chair is my dead cat Butch wearing a gray pinstripe suit and American flag lapel pin. In the gallery are thousands of cats meowing and licking themselves. Down below, Butch, strapped to a gurney, is Samuel Alito. He's wearing white hospital gown, and he's drenched in fear sweat. Butch pounds the gavel and into the microphone says, "This confirmation hearing will come to order." She glares over her half-moon glasses at Alito and says, "So, Alito, I hear you call yourself Scalito because you do everything that meatball Antonin Scalia would do. We shall now see if that is true." Just then, two cats wheeled in Scalia, also strapped to a gurney and wearing a white hospital gown. They parked him side by side with Alito. Butch leapt down from her perch, stood between them, and placed one razor-sharp claw under Scalia's chin and the other along Alito's chin. "Distinguished comrades, watch carefully now. The gentleman, answer me. Do you think a married woman should have to tell her husband before having an abortion?" Butch dug both claws at exactly the same time. Both Scalia and Alito screamed, "Yes!" "Will you overturn Roe v. Wade the first chance you get?" Again, both of them screamed, "Yes!" "Are you terrified that on a whim, I might shred your tiny withered testicles like a piñata?" Both scream, "Yes!" Butch turns to the crowd and says, "Just as I suspected, comrades, this Alito is nothing but a common pea-brained Republican ideologue fit only to be flushed down the porcelain bowl of history. But before we dunk this puppet into the Potomac, I have one final test." Butch jumps on Scalia's chest and begins licking one of his nipples, causing Alito to giggle uncontrollably. Butch jumps down from Scalia's chest and says, "That settles it. Scalia and Alito are exactly the same. I now invoke Rule 21. Then the lights dimmed, mirrored balls descended from the ceiling, and huge thumping disco music filled the room. The cats began yowling and dancing and humping everywhere. Butch lights a cigarette, exhaled, and says, "Ah, Marc Maron, the system is flawed, but it works, yes?" I woke up and my bed was filled with wet dander. All right, so look, folks, we got a big show. Lisa Lampanelli is coming up. If you're in the New York area, you want to come down. We're at O'Neill's on 64th Street between Broadway and Central Park West. We got Johnny K Street in the wings, Lawton Small in the wings. I feel a Mark the Shark attack, too.
Uh-oh.
It's 43 past the hour, so hang out. We'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Hi, this is Marc Maron's mom, and you're listening to my son and his friend, Mark Riley. They're very good boys. It's Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
It's 48 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Ryan.
Hey.
We're broadcasting live from O'Neill's Restaurant up here on 64th Street between Broadway and Central Park West. Come on down. We got a lot of show. We got free food. A lot of people here. Thanks for coming out. It's great to see everyone. This is our last live broadcast. Oh, yeah. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Hey, we're working on it, okay? We're working on it.
Hey, Mark, I don't mean to interrupt, there is someone who wants to speak with you. I don't know exactly what he wants to talk to you about.
All right.
Sir, what's your name?
Yeah, this is Ted from Nebraska. You know, once again, you liberals have to cheat in the Congress to get any kind of attention whatsoever because you have no ideas.
Oh, no, it's happening. Oh, no, I hate when... help me, Riley. Oh, my God. Oh, no, it's happening. My thoughts are starting to change. I'm becoming him. Oh, no.
Bell, Pennsylvania.
Live from Radio Halliburton, it's Right and Early, the conservative's way to wake up with Mark the Shark Maron.
Good morning, neocons. Mark the Shark is live at O'Neill's and he's taking your questions, losers. Step right up and get Shark. What do you got? Yeah, what do you want, buddy?
Mark the Shark, don't you think Samuel Alito is a little too far to the right to serve on the Supreme Court?
What, who are you, Harriet Myers? Thank God President Bush had the giant elephant Naz to get rid of that bleeding heart hag and put a real conservative in there, slamming Sammy Alito. That's right, USA, USA. I love a strict constructionist. Hey, sweetcake, stopping liberals like you from snorting crystal, getting knocked up, and then murdering your dirty meth baby, it's a man's job. Now take your snotty elitist ass out of here, princess, and get some coffee. Get me some coffee. Hurry. My buzz is wearing off. Next.
Yeah, Mark the Shark.
Yeah.
What's Bush going to do about bird flu?
Shock and awe, baby. Shock and awe. The president's going to handle those bird flu terrorists just like he handled Katrina and Rita and Wilma. Mission accomplished. I just hope one of those infected communist Chinese chickens wanders on the Mark the Shark property. Here, chicky, chicky, chicky. Come here, get a nice handful of grain. That's right, good chicken. Just a little closer. Die, you commie bird. Die! Oh, I love killing chickens. Next.
Yeah, Mark the Shark.
Yeah, what's up,
big
man?
Fan.
All right.
What do you think about Harry Reid and those damn Democrats forcing Congress into a closed session about Iraq, man?
Now, there's a good question, Patriot.
Oh, I'm Harry Reid. I have no principles. I have no convictions. I have no ideas. I can only pull cheap stunts because I have no power. The American people hate me, and I have a tiny, tiny penis.
You know what? I'd like to get those Democrat communist traitors in a closed session. I'd clear all those tourists out, dim the lights, and then... Say goodnight, liberals.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Stick around, neocons. We'll be back with Toby Keith.
Don't touch that dial, Patriot. We'll be back with Right and Early.
Oh, wow.
Maron, you okay, man?
I know. I feel like I had that thing again where I blacked out. It must have been too much coffee.
Uh-oh.
That scares me because I feel like I'm possessed or something by somebody else. I don't know what the hell happened there. So anyways, let's talk about that for a minute. First of all, I'd like to share these numbers with you because this is some exciting math. President Bush's job approval rating as of today is at 35%, man. 35%. That
is actually the lowest ever for a second-term president. Wait, that's not true. Nixon was 8 points lower, but yeah, I think Bush can get there if he tries.
If he works on it.
You know, he's got a little work to do, but I think he's on his way. So look at this. Views of George W. Bush and Dick Cheney. George W. Bush, 33% favorable, 51% unfavorable. Dick Cheney, 19% favorable, 44% unfavorable.
Yeah, he's down there in Nixon land.
Yeah, but you know what's amazing? What this implies to me is that despite whatever an individual's ideology is in this country, whether they're Republican or ultra-right or whatever, what they are waking up to is the fact that in their guts, they know these guys are full of crap. They know that they're lying. They know that something stinks. And it's actually starting to, you know, overtake their ideological brainwash and realize that as people, these guys are corrupt. They're lying, and what they're presenting the American people is not true in any way.
Well, that is so true across the board when you start looking at the way they've tried to spin Iraq, the way they've tried to spin Michael Brown, for God's sake, the way they tried to spin Scooter Libby's resignation. Each and every time they try to tell the American people something that is on its face false.
Yeah.
Absolutely false. Like progress is being made in Iraq. Who believes that? Who honestly believes that progress is... And that's, by the way, not to knock the soldiers that are trying to do some good there. I'm not talking about that. But the policy has been screwed from day one.
And hopefully we can get some traction. We can get some traction in terms of, you know, what's going on with the Democrats in the Senate. Because, you know, what scared me, what we talked about yesterday in terms of that secret session, is that you you made some statement that you're speculating there might have been a deal made in order to get this bipartisan committee to reinvestigate the Senate Intelligence Committee's investigation of pre-war intelligence leading up to the war in Iraq. And you said that there's always horse trading, that there could have been some deal struck that would make the Alito confirmation a little smoother. I hope that's not true. But what we're seeing today is the statement made by Democrats today that they want an independent investigative committee. Is that different than what we had yesterday, or is that the same thing?
It's essentially the same thing. It's something they've been pushing for a long time, because the Republicans have literally, you know, plugged any effort to try and find out whether there was deliberate, some form of deliberate malfeasance in the run-up to the war. In other words, did Bush lie to the American people?
Yes.
When you hear all this stuff about phase two, all right?
Oh, that's right, phase two.
Phase two is to determine whether or not the administration was telling the truth when they told the American people there was adequate justification to invade and occupy Iraq. That's what phase two is about. That's what the Republicans don't want to touch with a 10-foot pole, because they're going to be ass out.
Isn't that about, like, the apparently phase one, that they think the Senate Intelligence Committee got to the bottom of whether or not it was a lie or not? That isn't even clear. But phase two is actually about whether or not those lies were manipulated even more to convince the people to go to war.
Well, whether or not the whole thing was a lie. All right, we know.
How can we know that?
No, wait. Let's begin at the beginning. We know for a fact that the assertion that Saddam even had the capability to shoot weapons of mass destruction from Baghdad to Crete was a lie.
Right.
It wasn't there. He never had that capacity. And in fact, when they tried to say that he was trying to buy this yellow cake uranium, that turned out to be
a lie.
That's all a lie.
So all they have to make a case is that, well, we know he was thinking about it.
No, what they say is he was a bad guy.
He had an idea, though.
And we're striking a blow for democracy by occupying a place, which, by the way, we will, absent any serious troop withdrawal, we're going to be there until I'm in a walker.
Forever.
Right? We're going to be there forever. There's never going to be any change in this insurgency. They're like drug dealers. Every time somebody catches up to them, they've got something different. They've got these improvised explosive devices that they can literally put anywhere, and the U.S., the armor can't stop them, and the American troops can't stop them. They may shoot an al-Qaeda house someplace, but they're making a bomb someplace else, and the next day 20 other people end up dying. And the people who are catching hell is the U.S. military and Iraqi civilians, and we should never forget that they're both catching hell here in Iraq.
Here's some other encouraging numbers before we take a little break here. Did someone in the administration leak an agent's name? 62% of this country believes yes. That's good. Are the charges against Libby true? 39% yes, probably true. Only 4% told say probably not. So they are starting to smell the truth.
Because it's all true.
Lisa Lampanelli is going to be here. Johnny Casey is going to be here. Hang out. It's 57 past Sarah America Radio's morning.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. King.
Six past the hour. Good morning. It's Morning Sedition. We're broadcasting live from O'Neill's on 64th Street between Broadway and Central Park West. Come on down. It's great as well. There's muffins. There's coffee and orange juice and water and a great crowd. Unbelievable. In a few minutes, we're going to have the Queen of Mean out here, Lisa Lampanelli. You know her from the Pamela Anderson roast. Apparently, she was on Adam Carolla the other night. Her star is rising in the comedy world. I remember when she started out, and she'll be here in just a few minutes. What's big on the news? Let's just do a couple of bites here before we get on with this. First of all, I want to tell the country, I already told you people here, Bush's job approval rating is at 35%, the lowest in his career. Very exciting. People are waking up. And people, as far as Dick Cheney goes, that's at 19%. That guy's not fooling anybody.
In terms of what's going on with the Alito confirmation, you know, this guy should not be confirmed. We should fight this at I believe, at any cost. But it doesn't look like that is going to happen. It seems that a couple of Democratic senators have already said there's not going to be a filibuster. DeWine said no.
DeWine is a Republican.
Right, DeWine. Who's the other guy?
Well, there was Dick Durbin said don't judge him too fast.
And Ben Nelson.
Ben Nelson says he likes him, but Ben Nelson hasn't endorsed him
right yet.
There is still hope for these folks, people. They need to hear from people around the country. You can email them. You can call the Capitol switchboard. And I used to know that number, 202-224-3121. Just ask for any senator's office. Ask for Mike DeWine's office. Ask for any of you. They'll connect you directly to their office. Speak to their press people and tell them you do not want them to vote yes on Samuel Alito. He is dangerous for the freedoms that we now marginally enjoy.
And all these guys care about, really. All these guys care about is your vote. So if you make that case,
That is all they care about, your vote, because that vote gives them access to power.
And I think it's important to know, as we said earlier, that 53% of this country believes that if he is going to overturn Roe v. Wade, that he should not be confirmed. And if it's 53%, there are plenty of Republicans, you know, on board with you. There are plenty of Republican women, certainly, that feel the same way that we do. And I wish there was a way that we could actually, and I rarely say this because I'm such a reactionary moron, that I wish there was really some way that we could reach out to Republicans who think the same way that we do on this issue to at least stop this confirmation.
Well, see, here's the problem. When he gets up in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee, he is not going to say, I'm going to overturn Roe versus Wade. He knows, and every American hopefully knows, that that would be suicide to his ambition here. He would not get confirmed if he said that publicly. What he will do, however, is try and snake that very thin line that John Roberts snaked as well and say, well, you know, there's some parts of it I believe. What it's going to center on is the issue of whether or not Roe v. Wade is A, settled law, and B, involves the right to privacy.
Well, this is going to be a harder snake for this guy because a lot more people like Roberts. You know, people smell a rat with this guy. And, you know, I smelled one with Roberts, but he seemed to be a smoother character. Maybe this guy will snap.
Roberts is a conservative. Make no mistake about that. But he's a smooth, affable conservative. And that's what I think suborned at least 22 Democrats who voted for his confirmation. You can't let two affable conservatives on this court because they will affably get rid of Roe v. Wade.
Everything. There are a lot of there's a lot of big stories in the news this week, obviously. So let's get some bets down with our Inside the Beltway odds maker, Johnny K Street. Johnny.
Johnny.
Hey, baby. Where's the action, Johnny? What do you got? What do you got?
Follow me, baby.
Yeah, okay. What's up?
All right. First of all, let me just say I've seen a few indictments over the years.
Uh-huh.
But last week was the first time I ever applauded one. Scooter Libby is headed for a state-sponsored vacation, and Karl Rove hasn't been this nervous since the last time he had his cholesterol checked. And Bush probably has himself attached to a Jack Daniels IV by now.
Yeah.
Johnny, what are the odds that Roe and Cheney still might end up doing some time themselves?
I hate to say it, but the line on Roe and Cheney is they're going to walk away from this free and clear.
Oh, man.
I don't know how these guys get away with it. I would say Cheney made a deal with the devil if he wasn't the devil himself. Let's put it this way. You'll see Barbara and Jenna Bush marry the Olsen twins on the White House lawn before Roe and Cheney go to jail. The odds of Cheney and Roe doing time, 1,000 to 1.
I'm going to take that for $5, Johnny.
That sounds good to me. Put me down for $5 also.
There you go.
You know, I hate to ask, but you guys are good for this, right?
Yeah, but Johnny, what is that? What are you talking about?
I don't know. I hear things, you know.
Oh, yeah?
Like you might be not doing the show anymore.
Oh, yeah, yeah? All right, fine. Maybe you know something I don't know. What kind of action do you have on the show getting yanked?
Oh, come on. You think I would take bets on whether you're going to stay on the air? Are you kidding me? You guys are like family. Forget about it.
All right, so you're saying you don't have any action on me at all?
Okay, I got you down even money to take. All right.
unless there's something you want to tell me off the record between you and I.
Hey, you'll be the first to know, my friend.
That's all I ask.
Johnny, the big story this week is Sam Alito. What kind of Alito action you got?
I have all the Alito action you want, baby. This is a guy George Bush's right-wing nutshot supporters aren't going to have any problems with. He's anti-abortion, pro-big business, and pro-automatic weapons. Or as Bush likes to call him, a triple threat.
So, oh, yeah.
This guy makes Harriet Myers look like Arianna Huffington.
Yeah.
And when it comes to civil rights, Alito's record is just slightly better than David Duke's. Alito's going to be the first Supreme Court justice with a robe and a hood. Well, he thinks it's okay to do things like strip search a 10-year-old girl. Yeah, him and Roman Polanski, but no one's nominating him.
Johnny, how do you think Alito's nomination is going to affect Roe v. Wade?
One of the most controversial things about Alito is his stand on abortion. We all know that. His idea of a woman's right to choose is, should I check up my husband now or later?
All right, so taking everything into consideration, what are the odds that Alito will be the next Supreme Court justice?
Unfortunately, it's a lock. 8-5. He'll be sitting on that bench, and God help us all.
All right, well, now put me down for $5, Bill.
What the heck? I know a good bit when I hear it. Put me down for a yard, Johnny.
You are down.
All right, Johnny, let's lighten things up a little. What do you think about Prince Charles and Camilla coming to the U.S.?
I'll give you 10-1 odds over half the country could care less, me included. No one cares what Prince Charles has to say. Get a job. What the hell kind of job is Prince anyway? Give me a break.
Wait a minute, Johnny. Didn't Prince Charles say he had some things he wanted to discuss with President Bush?
Yeah, Prince Charles said he wants to talk to George Bush about being more tolerant towards Islam and Muslim countries. Hey, Prince Charles, maybe you haven't noticed. You're too late. What the heck is this guy thinking? Asking Bush to be more tolerant of Islam is the second dumbest thing Prince Charles has said since, Diane, I'm leaving you for Camilla Parker Bowler. I can never figure that one out. If she was bald, she'd be a dead ringer for Junior Soprano. The only thing I know for sure about Prince Charles is he needs glasses. Oofa.
How do you think New York is going to respond to the prince and princess?
They're going to get a warm reception in the West Village. A lot of guys think it's a gay marriage.
Do you think that there's going to be any kind of press? Do you think they're going to get the kind of press that Princess Diana did?
No way. Even Prince Charles said he's not worried about paparazzi hassling him. And also, as far as he knows, his family has no plans to have Camilla Parker Bowles whacked like his last wife. As far as he knows. Before I go, would you mind if I just plug an upcoming project I'm involved in?
No, go ahead, Johnny, while you still have the chance.
All right. Well, my new... Thank you very much. Well, my new project is all thanks to your show.
Uh-huh.
Out of the hundreds of people who listen to your show every morning... We're all here. One of them just happened to be an executive of Nickelodeon and was suffering some sleep apnea. He contacted me, and starting next week, we go into pre-production on my new show, K Stands for Kids. It's a show for preschoolers interested in gaming.
Whoa. Let me try and understand something. You're doing a kid's show about gambling?
Yes, I am. Just looking at Mr. K's neighborhood or Captain Kangaroo with a talking roulette wheel instead of a grandfather clock. The kids all love it. And, of course, if their parents feel so inclined, they can play small wagers during my Johnny K Storytime Sportsbook segment. 1-800 operators will be standing by. That's it for me. I'm out of here. I got a read-through I got to get to. Come on. I got to go.
All right,
guys.
All right, guys. Thanks for coming by and listening to Moments Edition. It's 15 past the hour. O'Neill's Restaurant up on 64th Street and Broadway. We got Lisa Lampanelli in the wings. Stay with us.
Moments Edition on the air and online. MorningsEdition.com. Air America Radio.
Between Broadway and Central Park West. Come on down. There's still some room. A lot of people. Great crowds. It is our last live broadcast, so that brought a lot of people out. Very exciting. Our next guest, folks, you know, by the way, we got Rapture Watch coming up. Our guest is I've known her for years. She's playing at Caroline's Comedy Club tonight and tomorrow night and Sunday night. We get a lot of complaints that this show is too much testosterone. We think our next guest is pretty feminine.
Lisa, nice try.
Let me get the intro out. Lisa Lampanelli, better known as the Queen of Mean or the Insult Comic, joins us live at O'Neill's. Good morning, Lisa.
Hey, Mark. Yeah. Hey. Hi, liberals. Thanks for having me. Good to see you.
Following a grand tradition. I forgot that you were with me on one of the worst nights of my life. We were on the Chevy Chase roast together. I bombed to the point where I was almost crying in my hotel room.
Oh, he was awful.
Wait a minute.
He ate it so bad. But you should be praying and thanking Comedy Central's editing department for not making you look like a total retard. He stunk.
Oh, great.
Oh, come on. His jokes.
Retard.
Dude, his jokes were cornier than Oprah's stool after the 4th of July. Okay?
Whoa.
Don't start moaning out there. This is a comedy segment, you liberal bastards. Okay? We have
there
one to
go.
The AC. Thank you, black
yeah.
guy.
A little discipline. There you
Thank
go.
Thank you, Colonel Sanders.
Uh-oh.
Look at that guy. Don't get excited, black guy. I mentioned chicken.
Uh-oh.
Let me tell you
something. Oh, wait a minute.
No, let me tell you something.
Turn it around. Say something bad about the Jews.
Jews!
Yeah.
You're cheap. You don't tip.
Okay.
How's that? Okay.
Turn it around. So what happened on the Pamela Anderson roast?
Oh,
that
my
crazy.
God. Did anybody see the Pamela Anderson roast on Comedy Central? That was crazy. You know who the craziest bitch that night was?
Who?
Andy Dick. Let me tell you about him. Because I love the gay men. Because I'll be honest, if it wasn't for these gay guys, us fat chicks would have no friends. But I will tell you that this Andy Dick was crazy. But even crazier was that Courtney Love.
Yeah, what happened?
She kissed me on the lips.
Yeah?
I was high for 5 freaking days. I'm telling you, she tasted like crack and cheap hooker. It was just like Mary and Barry's morning breath, okay? Now listen, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a lesbian encounter, but I always figured if I had one, I'd be the ugly one. No, shut up. You saw her on that road. She was rolled hard and put back wet. Hello? And the thing is, she comes into the makeup room before the event, Mark. It was horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
And she comes in, she's like, make me look like Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
Well, you've seen her.
Yeah.
I think the guy thought she said Marilyn Manson, okay?
Or maybe Marilyn Monroe after she
that's
died.
That's what I said. I said, ooh. Bitch, this guy doesn't have enough makeup in his bag to make you look like Marilyn does today. You know, I'm no beauty, but I'm funny. That's all I got.
I love that that our audience is laughing, you know, because they're crying inside.
That's good. That's good.
They're like, this is too mean, but I like it.
Well, look, here's the deal, man. I'm an insult comic.
Yeah.
It's in the great tradition of Don Rickles and all the crazy roasts.
Yes.
But I spread it around equally. Everybody gets it at Lisa Lampanelli's show. Black, white, Hispanic, gays, Jews, cripples. The cripples are terrific.
Oh,
no, shut up, Mark, you racist. Let me tell you something. Because I dated a guy in a wheelchair, okay? I'm equal freaking opportunity.
All right.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Our favorite position was 69. He called it Meals on Wheels.
Oh.
That was sexy as hell. I don't care who you are.
Who said I'm not going out with a bang?
Yeah. And speaking of banging, Mark, has anybody ever seen Mark's hot, hot piece of a wife? Have you ever met her? What a gorgeous woman. You out-leagued yourself.
I sure did.
I mean, honey, because the thing is, we're semi-celebrities.
Yeah.
We can't say we're celebrities yet, but we get way above what we can. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Because all my life, let me tell you, I'm a chubby broad. I could always get the disgusting chubby white bastards or the hot blacks. I could get LL Cool J or Jared from Subway. Screw Subway. Get me on the train to Browntown, biatch.
Yeah.
And that's why I showed up for you, hot chocolate.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
I'm a happily married guy. My wife listens. Hi, honey.
Is she a black girl? Is she a boy?
She's a black woman.
Oh, wow. So you stuck with your race?
Yeah, I stuck.
That's all right. You're racist against the white people. That's okay. Don't worry about it. I spread it around equally. I enjoy all the religions and faiths and ethnicities, except the dirty Jews.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what, though? I would have sex with his, you know what I mean?
You'd enjoy it.
Yeah, no, I don't drink anymore.
Let me tell tell you something.
Uh-oh. Everybody comes back at you, doesn't it?
Let me tell you something, Mark Maron. You crush me to the core.
Oh, come
I
on.
Fly in here on the red eye from Los Angeles to do your show.
What?
And you do this to me.
Uh-oh.
I'm a sensitive person. I'm going to cry one of those little American Indian littering tears.
Oh,
right now. And that guy wasn't even an Indian. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Isn't that racist? They didn't even get a freaking Indian. To, and I don't mean I mean casino Indian, not Slurpee Indian. You understand what I'm talking about? Listen to these people moan. What did you want? Poetry? What the hell?
Yeah,
what a Soho, you douchebags.
Actually, a couple of them are like, yeah, poetry.
Poetry.
So you're with the New York Comedy Festival this weekend?
Yeah.
All right.
Tonight at Caroline's, tomorrow at Caroline's, and Sunday at Caroline's.
Because we got a lot of listeners in New York.
Come on out. For reservations, call 212-757-4100. And if you have any complaints about the content of this particular segment...
Oh, these people aren't going.
Oh, please send an email to insultcomic.com. Do not email Mark and Mark. They are not responsible for my potty mouth. That's all I have to say. That's how I roll.
Now, are you going back to L.A. anytime soon?
Dude, I just flew in, but let me tell you something. Big news. I will announce it on your show.
Okay. You know what? Hold it. Why don't you hold it? Because we're gonna do a break, and we'll have the big news, because there's literally people sitting there going, what? But people here are like, why is she staying? It's 27 past. We're broadcasting live from O'Neill's Restaurant at 64th Street and Broadway. Come on down here in New York City. We've got a great show. Lisa Ampanelli is going to give us a big announcement in just a minute. We'll be back. Central Park West, come on down. There's still some room. Good crowd.
Free gum.
There won't be any free gum, but I just did that for Annie, who asked me to do the...
Free gum.
Maybe in a few minutes I'll introduce you to the real Kalo.
Yeah.
Chris Opuesto is here, but I'm not gonna tip it. I'm going to make people wait, Chris, so don't reveal yourself just yet. We're sitting here with Lisa Lampanelli, the queen of mean, who just entertained everybody, if you're just tuning in. You're going to be now at Caroline's tonight, tomorrow, not Saturday, and Sunday night.
Absolutely.
If you want to see Lisa, you recently released a DVD. It's called what?
Take It Like a Man.
Yeah.
I think it's self-explanatory.
So you did the I think it is. You did the CD DVD package.
No. It's a CD and a DVD because I got to make the most money as I can. I got to eat too, Mark.
Yeah, I understand.
You understand,
but
that,
not too
man.
Much. You understand?
No, I know. Hey, any more weight I lose, the black guys will have nothing to hide behind when the cops start shooting.
Oh.
Moan some more, bitches. A moan is a laugh times 10.
It's an inverted laugh, is what it is. It's a laugh that causes cancer.
Oh. Don't mention cancer or I have to buy another bracelet. What the hell is with the bracelets? Just because that guy falls off a bicycle and hurts his left one, I got to freaking spend a dollar on that crap? Jeez.
These people are all about bracelets.
I got every bracelet to match my outfits. They don't even have a disease on them no more. What am I going to do, Mark? What am I going to do?
I don't know. Probably.
Kill myself.
Don't do that unless it's funny. Please.
It will be funny.
If you do that, do it in a funny way.
Do it with a laugh.
Okay. Lisa Lampanelli, thanks for joining us. Hang out. We're going to do a piece here that we always do on the show, but you can sit there and hang out. All right?
Thank you, Mark.
All right. Lisa Lampanelli, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, guys. God bless you all. And God bless America.
Uh-oh. If you believe in that kind of stuff. The Bible's book, speaking of that, here's a good segue. The Bible's book of Revelations portends the end of days and the second coming of the Christian Messiah, one of our president's favorite stories. Though no one knows when the end times will come, there are signs that will appear to men. Here on Morning Sedition, we won't let you be caught off guard by the end of the world. That's why we present this week's Rapture Watch with MILF Cardinal Milpington of the recently disgraced Diocese of Downers Grove, New Jersey. Your grace...
Yeah.
Heed my besiegements, thy painted harlots of Harmahab, Esarhaddon, and possibly the most pretentious of all demonic locations, the next level. Be not deceived, thy blaspheming abstainers of meats. What's the matter? Too weak to get a little gout like the rest of us? It's time to lift your gaze to the ventral wrath of Jesus H. Christ our Lord, a candy company. For you have vacationed at Camp Satan far too long and are about to participate in a three-legged potato sack race to hell. Your heart has become a toasted marshmallow of regret, mashed between two graham crackers of sin. And your soul, the gasping prisoner in the devil's Dutch oven pup tent of damnation. And the smoke of your torment will soon ascendeth to heaven, whereupon God will nod knowingly to his angels and say, "All right, guys, who cut the cheese?" You want better symbolism than that? Give me a goddamn contract.
Hey, Cardinal, why don't you say give me a damn contract, because I think they had to dump the other one.
All right. You want a better symbolism than that? Give me a damn contract.
All right. There you go. That
enough of this crap. I'm sick of promoting your stupid career. All right. You may recall thrice abdominals ago, sinners, I told you how a Harvard economics professor was arrested for stealing manure. The week after that, I told you how a man killed a buck with his bare hands in his daughter's bedroom. And the week after that, I told you if you want to embarrass your family by stealing manure, don't be surprised when your daughter starts dating deer. Yeah. But that's neither Shintasa Montata nor Shintasa Montata Pitini Mandana. Because the end times are here. The rapture is upon us. Stick a fork in your world because it's done. Ass, gas, or grass, no one gets saved for free. This van's a rockin', Jesus came a knockin'. Mafia staff car. Baby on board. How's my driving? Man, I'm just getting lazy with this crap. No matter, for according to a story shown recently on ABC or the Antichrist Broadcasting Company, scientists are going to fight bird flu by genetically modifying chickens.
Wow. Excuse me, Cardinal, but this is very exciting. That means we'll soon be able to produce genetically modified chickens that can resist lethal strains of the virus.
Yes, you pathetic clown. And in the process, help Satan create his evil army of chicken robots. Uh-huh. For it was prophesied in Revelation 16 tons, and what do you get? And I quote it, "You will find yourself in danger when you're threatened by a chicken, when it looks like Satan's here to tease us." Just call Super Jesus. He will drink a super sauce and throw the bad guys for a loss, and then he'll save us all to please us. There is one thing you should learn: in hell, there will be lots of burning. So call Super Jesus. Just call Super Jesus. End quote. Well, you know what? Lest ye forget, when your time comes, Mark, your spirit will go immediately to one of two places, heaven or Walmart. There the devil will offer you one of two eternal torments, death or Chi-Chi. The man next to you will choose Chi-Chi. He will be put into a barrel, raped by monkeys, set on fire, and rolled down a hill into a hot river of dung. The devil will then come upon thee and ask, "What will it be, death or Chi-Chi?" Seeing how bad Chi-Chi is, you will choose death. Whereupon Satan will respond, "Death it is, but first, Chi-Chi." A man walks into a bar and says he can fart the national anthem. The power of Satan is within me. Must fight urge to recite cheap bar jokes. Thank you, Jesus. Well, there you have it. The tribulation will be upon us soon. If you haven't saved yourself already, go outside and humiliate a Mormon. What, you got a bunch of Mormons here today?
I don't know, man.
Maybe Jesus will notice. I don't know. I'm sorry, but it's, you know, getting down on the wire, and that's all I've got for you. It's every man for himself now. Perhaps soon we'll see each other at the throne of Jesus and his life coach, Stanley. We'll all laugh about this, but not too loud, or else we'll get bit in the stomach by his pet monkey.
Yeah.
Or something like
that.
Yeah,
all right.
Can you do the bucket here? Anyway, fornicators, until then, keep on fornicating and we'll keep a light on for you. Inhale.
Wow. Oh, my God. Jim Earl, ladies and gentlemen.
Great.
What was that, like an hour long? How long is that? Is it the end of the show?
Wait, you're,
come on.
Wait, you're counting minutes now, Jew?
Oh. Hey, don't steal her out. Well, only one of you can do that. That's all right. You'll find work.
Yeah.
All right, go to California with me, buddy. All right, we'll be back with Mark Chrisman Miller, who has promised not to suck us into a black hole of despair. 43 past the hour, Air America Radio's Morning Sedition.
Hey, this is Ted Leo, and you're listening to The Spirit of Radio, Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Program. We're live at O'Neill's Restaurant on 64th Street between Broadway and Central Park West. Come on down. I want you people to know, I appreciate all the support. No matter what happens, I will be around for a few more weeks in this version. So don't worry. We're still going to keep going here with Morning Sedition because we love it. Me and Mark Riley love doing our show.
Yeah.
So we are going to be around for a while longer. Hey, look, my next guest, I got to be honest with you, I'm at the eyeglass store trying to look at the eyeglasses that'll make me look less like I do. And I run into Mark Chrisman Miller, and he's like, I got the new, he's smiling, which I have to be honest with you, not always the case with Mark Chrisman Miller. But he's smiling, and I'm like, what's going on? He goes, it's happening. We're in the, you know, we got to put it to him now. It's time. And I'm like, oh, my God, we need to distill this Mark Chrisman Miller spirit of optimism and hope and have him on my show. So our next guest, he, as I said, promised to not take us into a black hole of politics and that he might actually have something positive to say about our future. He's a professor of media studies at New York University. His book, Fooled Again, How the Right Stole the 2004 Election and Why They'll Steal the Next One, too, releases this week. Mark Chrisman Miller is here. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Yeah.
All right, let's get right into it. Let's start with Cheney now, because you wrote the other book, The New World Order, Bush and Cheney's New World Order. Now it looks like Bush, the reports that he's actually starting to distance himself from Cheney. How is he going to eat properly?
That's a very good question. I don't really know how he's going to eat. I doubt he's ever eaten properly. You know, look at him.
Yeah, I understand.
I want to get right to it.
Okay.
You want to know why I'm smiling?
Yes.
Why I feel that I'm full of good tidings.
Yes.
I have the best possible news for everybody.
Okay.
Okay. The American people didn't elect this guy. He was not elected. There's a little tentativeness in that applause, I know. But he's never been elected by the American people. Never.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the evidence really does speak for itself.
35% approval rating today. 35.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, only 8 more points. He's as low as Nixon. He can do it.
He can pull it out, right? He has a 22% strong approval rating. 22% with a 4% margin of error. So, you know, this means it could be 18%. And it's the same 18% who were happy with the way he and Congress handled the Terri Schiavo case.
Right. Well, thank God there's only 18%, and it's a myth that they're any bigger than that.
Well, my view is, and I think I make a pretty strong case for this in the book Fooled Again, which I'm here to present.
Is that book coming out this week?
It's coming out this
week. How do you like it? It's called
Fooled Again.
Okay.
There you go.
And by the way, you left the four most optimistic words out of the subtitle when you read it.
Well, go ahead and do it.
Okay, it's how the right stole the 2004 election and why they'll steal the next one, too, unless we stop them. Okay?
There you go.
No, it's, I bring good news. You know, we can't be blamed for this. And right. The American people would never go for this guy or his agenda. It's too extreme. And I'll tell you something else. A lot of Republicans voted against him. This is not a party thing. This is a civic thing. You know, it's not about the Democrats, the Republicans, finally. It's about the Bush Republicans, which is a different matter. I've got a lot of examples in the book of many, many prominent Republicans who came out against Bush very publicly before the election. There were a lot of them. Bob Barr, for example.
But Mark, he's going to kill us all with bird flu. I mean, I know they stole the election. We're gonna do whatever we can, but I'm feeling a little fluish myself already.
All right, well, breathe in the other direction then, if you want. I got a book tour to do, and I can't afford to get sick.
Well, just as long as your priority's in the right place.
Exactly.
All right.
You know, I'm very fond of you, as you know. it's really remarkable. I mean, the press, out of a combination of, I don't know, self-delusion and cowardice, managed to make it seem insane to suggest what all the evidence suggests, which is that Kerry probably won this election by at least 3 million votes. I think it's quite possible to argue he may have won by 10 million votes. I mean, this was a big, big heist, a big theft. Let me give you an example of the kind of information we're not getting. Late May of this year, the Census Bureau released a survey which found that 3.4 million more Americans claimed to have voted in the last election than the official tally of voters.
Okay, see, now let's get to the part of how we can fix it part.
Well, we have to...
Because now I feel the black hole thing. So wait, how do we do the fixing?
You know, you're really a hard guy to please.
That's for sure. There's no doubt about that.
The black hole thing is your own problem.
Oh! Yeah. I don't think so. I think that we were just led off a plank of hopelessness, and now we're going to turn it around. How are we going to take it back, Mark?
We need electoral reform as soon as possible.
All right.
Serious electoral reform. As soon as possible. And no Republican of principle can argue with this. I mean, we have to have a voting system that's trustworthy. The one we have now is worse than a joke. It's terrible. We need to have, we got to get rid of these private vendors that manufacture electronic touchscreen voting machines.
Should there be one machine for every election in the district? In other words, should there be a uniform federal?
Yeah, there should be a uniform federal standard. Absolutely. We got this crazy patchwork of different methods and so on for every, sometimes for different precincts. It's insane. So we need to have a uniform federal process, you know, that we have to have an act, believe it or not, it's possible to have an efficient bureaucracy, something like the post office that's completely nonpartisan. I understand that this idea is unimaginable in the present context because, you know, it would be Brownie would be running it, you know. But, you know, if we had a real government, And a real president, and so on, instead of what we have, and a real Congress, by the way, because as far as I'm concerned, the Senate majority is there illegitimately as well. I got a lot of evidence in my book. I mean, you know,
Fooled Again.
Fooled Again. That's it. Fooled Again, which I wrote precisely, and really only, to kickstart a movement of electoral reform, like now. I didn't write the book to change the outcome of the last election. There's no way to do that. It's not a constitutional possibility.
No, John Kerry would have to go to the White House and go, all right, I'm here for work.
Yeah, that's right. Reporting for duty.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, there was his concession, which was very problematic. You know, by the way, yes. I saw him Friday night.
And how was that for you?
It was fine. How was it for you?
You're the one with the story.
No. It was a very good meeting. He didn't say it was off the record, so I'm taking the liberty.
We're breaking news.
Uh-oh.
We actually are breaking news.
What do you got?
Well, he thinks it was stolen, too.
Why didn't he do anything?
Well, just a second now. What, you mean a year ago, why didn't he do anything?
How about, like, right after?
Right after? Because he's surrounded by, imbeciles.
Imbeciles.
Yeah, they gave him this advice. These are people who have made a career out of losing campaigns for Democrats, right?
Right.
So, of course, he hires them, and they tell him, you know, the day after the election, you know, you can't win, you can't pull it out. In the book, I have an anecdote. I talked to somebody who's close to John Edwards and who was with Edwards when Kerry called him on the cell to say, I'm pulling out. This is 4 hours after Edwards had said, we're going to count every vote. So Edwards was a little steamed by this. And Kerry was saying, nah, they're telling me I can't do it. I can't pull it out. And you know what else they're saying? They're saying that if I don't concede, they're going to call us sore losers.
God forbid that happened.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Better the guy's got his pride, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly. I mean, let's talk about priorities.
Yeah.
Better that the country should go fascist than that they should call these guys sore losers.
Mark, we have to go now, Mark.
I'm finished?
Well, no, you have a career. And I think it will do fine after this. And people will get your book, Fooled Again.
Fooled Again?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Mark Christopher Miller, ladies and gentlemen. The book is Fooled Again. Howard the Right stole the 2004 election. Why they'll steal it again if we don't stop them. Mark Christopher Miller, it's Morning Sedition live from O'Neill's. Stay with us. We got Lawton Smalls coming up and Jim Walcott. Live from O'Neill's on 64th Street between Broadway and Central Park West. You can still come on down. We got about an hour left. We got Lawton Smalls coming up.
Uh-oh.
We got Jim Walcott coming up. We got a great crowd of people here. There's free food, free coffee. Someone just came up and touched Pops Riley. So it's open game, my friends. George from the Veterans for Peace.
Veterans for Peace, yeah.
Just gave me and Pops Riley some T-shirts here. One says, Iraq is Arabic for Vietnam. That's www.ibaw.net if you want more information on them. There's also a website here on the back, Bring the Troops, Bring Them Home Now.org. Thank you, George.
Thanks, George.
Thanks for coming. Thanks for doing what you're doing. All right, Riley. So, hey, first of all, I wanted to do this because a lot of people here, the people down here who came to O'Neill's are hardcore fans of the show. Some people traveled from as far away from San Francisco knowing that this is going to be our last live broadcast. And, you know, certainly my future, that's it. What are you going to do? And, you know, in terms of what's going to happen with me here at Air America is still unclear, but I will be around for a few more weeks, whatever happens. But a lot of people have never seen Kalo Lopresto.
Yeah.
Chris Lopresto. He's the board operator. This guy's the guy that runs the knobs on the show. We talk to him a lot on the show. He's never been able to come down here because he's always down there at NASA downtown running the ship
pushing the buttons.
And the weird thing is like there's a woman here, Annie, who loves this.
Free gum.
Which a lot of people, it's out of context for almost everyone but Annie. I don't even know if Annie knows where it comes from. So I figure we might as well tell the story behind that. Why we can, Chris.
Sure. When I was a child, I used to drive an ice cream truck.
Aww.
And,
ice cream truck.
And the little kids around the neighborhood would run up to the ice cream truck and yell, free gum? Free gum? You got free gum?
Yeah.
So I would have to give them free gum.
Even if you didn't have it?
No, I would have it.
You have to have it as an ice cream truck driver?
Yes, you have to have free gum.
Did you ever say, shut up, kid, I'm quitting?
Oh, all the time. And I just drive away. But I did have to give them free gum, and you eventually run out of free gum.
Yeah.
You know, there's only so much free gum
in the world.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's a never-ending parade of children.
Yes. And
demanding it.
So they would just all day long, nonstop, they would ask me for free gum. And, yes, that's where free gum comes from. Free gum? And if anyone would like some free gum, I have some.
Chris Lopresto, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
It's important to know your morning show crew.
He just visited the tonsorial parlor, too. You noticed that, right?
He did?
It's a haircut, man.
I know. He just shaves it right off.
Yeah.
Mine's going the other way. You know what I've decided? It's like I got nothing to lose anymore, so I'm going to grow it all out. I'm going to grow the big beard and hopefully lose my mind entirely.
Wait a minute, man. When did you make this decision?
Literally yesterday. I'm like, you know, if this thing doesn't pan out, I'm going to lose my mind entirely and try to sell that. Why not? I mean, if I grow the beard out and I grow the hair real long and I stop making any sense whatsoever, I'm telling you, there's a future in that.
Really?
Yeah, sure.
What are you going to do, sell your lost mind on eBay?
No, I could go on TV and people could be like, Mark Maron, who the hell knows what's going to happen? Who wouldn't watch that?
Wait a minute.
I think it's happening now.
They're all listening to the radio show. They know that happens every day.
But I'm keeping it together, man. All right. Let's do some news, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in trouble, man.
Alito? You want to talk about Alito?
Yeah, I'm falling down the pit of self. Hold on. Let me rappel. All right.
Yes, sure. Pull it together, Maron. Everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, let's talk about Alito, that lunatic. This guy is further right than Scalia. Don't buy this crap that's coming out in the papers that just because he touches Democrats and his staff thinks he's a good guy. And he's sort of like, he gives people free gum. If you ask him for free gum, he'll give you some free. That's the kind of guy Alito is. He'll give you free gum.
He's an affable conservative, and in this instance, that's the worst kind to have on the Supreme Court.
Hitler was a vegetarian, you know what I mean? Let's be honest. I mean, that's meaningless. This guy's going to take it all away. He is going to take away Roe v. Wade. He's going to continue to support machine guns in homes. He's against affirmative action. This guy is the worst. And I hate the fact that he's got sort of a stupid moon face that makes him look likable. I hate the fact that there's some part of him that you look at and like, oh, look at that guy. The hell with him. I say we filibuster. That's what I say.
And by the way, again, you've got to take all of his positions. We haven't even talked yet about how he has bent over for big business and corporate America in some of these rulings from the bench. See, unlike Harriet Myers, this guy has a track record. This guy has paper behind him. And we need to pay close attention to what that paper says because it could be disastrous for all of us.
Do we get copies of the paper this time?
Huh? Well, we have to depend is on the media. This Bray versus Marriott Hotel is the first piece of paper where this black woman who was the head of a housekeeping department got passed over for a job. She sued based on race discrimination, and Alito there was in the minority in arguing that she didn't have enough evidence to make the case for racial discrimination.
The bastard.
He sets the bar higher all the time when it comes to rulings in terms of immigration. And by the way, there's a lot of that going, you know, they're getting ready to cut food stamps for legal immigrants in this country. Don't think, if that gets to the Supreme Court and Alito's on it, guess which way he'll vote?
Adapt or die.
There you go.
Hey, present it. If you want the toll-free number for the U.S. Senate, 877-762-8762, 1-877-SOB-USOB.
S-O-B-U-S-O-B? Isn't that kind of redundant?
S-O-B-U-S-O-B.
U-S-O-B.
Yeah. So there's your number to call your senators and tell them that if they vote this guy, if they confirm this guy, Alito, you're voting them out.
U-S-O-B.
Yes, exactly. We'll be back with Lawton Small. Stay with us. It's 12 past the hour. Adam Marco Radio's Morning Sedition.
This is Wayne Gilman, better known to the hard body mamas of the greater New York metropolitan area as Newsday. But I'm not busting a cap in some jive cat's ass for hogging the printer when I'm on deadline. I'm having a funky good time with Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Ooh, Newsday!
But look who's awake. Ready for another taste of Wayne?
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Sarah America Radio's Morning Sedition. It's not the Rockford Files. I'm Mark. That's Mark Rockford. We're coming to you live from O'Neill's on 64th Street between Broadway and Central Park West. We got Jim Walcott coming up. Got a lot of show. Got all the guys here, little Goliaths running around getting me coffee. Thank God for him. Thank you,
yes.
Thank you, Dave. Boy genius John Crimmings over there, our research guy. We got Jim Earle, and you know, and Brendan's right here, but I don't want to blow this guy's cover. So right now, since our president is openly operating in a different reality, we think it's important that America know what's happening in his alternate universe. Luckily, we have a staffer who lives in that world. So here now is Planet Bush Bureau Chief Lawton Smalls.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning. When God closes a door, he opens a window.
Okay, all right.
I want
yeah.
you to know that
okay,
right now.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about Bush's Supreme Court pick, Samuel Alito. Let's do that.
Mark.
Yes. Yeah.
Mark, poor, brave Mark. You're still talking politics with all that's happened to him.
Really?
Oh, with all you've been through?
What are you talking about, man?
I've been listening, Mark. All right? And I feel your pain right inside
me. Oh, no.
I'm feeling it every day. I understand. Let's just say you might be looking for work. Well, mister, this is your lucky day.
Oh, no.
You're going to get down on your knees and say, thank you, Jesus, for introducing me to Lawton Smalls. Today, mister.
Hey, how is that going to happen?
Well, it just so happened I have a good friend who listens to this show every single day, and he'd like to discuss a lucrative job opportunity for you, Mark Maron.
Really? Who? Who are we talking about?
Carl Rove!
Oh, wait. I can't. No,
Carl Rove!
No.
Come on.
I'm not going to be that guy.
Hang on. Hang on a minute, buddy.
Oh, no.
Rove likes you, Mark.
Really?
Yes. I've heard old Turd Blossom say 100 times, you know that Mark's got good energy. He's feisty. I like his passion out there. He even laughs when you kiss, say, Christo Fascist Zombie Brigade. He loves that. I just see it. He cracks up, shakes like a bowl of Smucker's jelly, that guy. I watch him turn blossom. He practically fell over.
What are you saying here, Walton, exactly?
Come over to our team, Mark. Join us. We know how much the left irritates you, Mark. The smugness, the humorlessness, the spinelessness, the white guys in dreadlocks. The lesbian folk singers. I know you hate it, Mark.
Yeah, you know,
search your feelings.
Sometimes that's true, Lawton.
Okay. And, yeah. And you're a star, mister. Anyone can see that. These people know that. It's time you got treated like one. Okay? Yeah. From where I sit, you're Billy Ray Cyrus, mister. You are Dale Earnhardt Jr., okay?
Billy Ray Cyrus, huh?
You're Fantasia, all right? Wrapped into one,
wow.
Right here.
Uh-huh.
Billy Ray okay, Cyrus. And funny.
Uh-huh.
Come on. You're Foxworthy funny.
Yeah.
I've said that 100 times. Yeah, Rose says it too, and Rummy, and Scooter, and Cheney,
no.
And even... Yes, President George W. Two Terms Mandate Bush. They podcast this show.
No,
they don't. They're your guilty pleasure, okay?
Oh, but my God.
If anybody tells you I told you that, I will deny it. But they do. Podcasting every day.
Okay, well, okay. Just for the sake of argument.
Stop.
Lawton, hang on. Just for the sake of argument, what is your side prepared to give me?
All right, now we're talking here. We will give you a real morning show. Here's how we're going to sell it. Mark Maron, former liberal. It's good. You can grow that beard back
if you want to.
I think that'd be former liberal.
Sounds kind of catchy.
All right.
What else you got?
Rome has authorized me to offer you your own suite of offices with a bathroom, a personal assistant to fetch tea and feed your cats, a staff of bright young kids from Bob Jones University to replace, Brandon and Kalo. Sorry, guys. A new house for you and Mishnah.
Hmm.
A brand new Cadillac Escalade SUV, the biggest one we can get for you. An expense account, country club membership, and good, strong signals in every major market.
Wow.
Let me tell you, Stephanie Miller will be drinking your bathwater, I assure you. Drinking your bathwater, star, Baron.
I got to say, that sounds kind of good, Lawton.
Hey, here's another thing. As for content, we just give you talking points every day, and you just riff on them.
Uh-huh.
That's what Rush and Hannity and O'Reilly do. You just riff on them, only, funny, right? Nothing can be easier. Mark, your anger is your precious gift. It's time for you to cash in on that.
Wow. Okay.
Make a withdrawal from your anger ATM and get paid.
I think I'm going to need to think about it.
Oh, we're willing to offer you a lot. Come on, Mark. The rat's going through a tough time. You know that. Scooter, Katrina, 35%. It's not going that well. You know, we need some new blood, huh? We need some of that Mark Maron mojo.
All right, dude.
Come on, Mark.
I'm not going to be honest with you. Whatever happens to me,
come on.
I don't really think I can. I mean, it's not where I'm going. Please. I'm sorry, man. Thanks anyway. I appreciate it. I couldn't do that. I mean, come on.
Come on. So you're just going to leave?
Yeah. I'm going to leave. What is this about? What's the matter with you, man?
What about me, man? That's the first job I ever liked. I didn't even mind getting kidnapped by Iraqi insurgents all that much. Because it was for you, man.
Oh, man.
For you.
You all right?
Did you ever know that you're my hero? And everything I'd like to be. If I could fly higher than an eagle.
All right. Just don't sing.
You heard the wind.
All right.
Beneath.
Okay.
My wing.
Okay. All right. Just take it easy. Okay. It's going to be all right. Okay. You'll find something else to do. Okay.
I
mean, we'll see.
Can I still call you sometimes?
Yes. So just stop crying and singing, and you can call me whenever you want.
All right. I'll call at night when it's cheaper.
Okay. Whatever. All right.
Excuse me.
Awkward. Oh. Always awkward.
Oh, I think I got some bird flu.
Yeah, I guess. You and me both, buddy.
Oh.
You all right?
We'll get you an offshore account, too, Mark, and a bass boat. Think about it.
Goodbye.
A big old bass boat.
Goodbye, Lon.
God loves you. Deal with it.
Uh-oh.
That was Lawton Smalls, as created by and played by the brilliant Kent Jones, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
Kent Jones, an irreplaceable member of the Air America team, driving a good deal of the comedy home, Mr. Kent Jones. Awesome. Ah, it's very touching, isn't it? It's so funny how many people, you go on the road or I go anywhere, liberals love the Lawton.
Oh, yeah.
They love the Lawton for all the right reasons.
My daughter loves the Lawton.
Of course. And you know what else? I got an email today. Some father who drives his kid to work every day. The kid loves Sammy. Sammy the stem cell. That's a comedy bit that transcends because the kid doesn't know what he's saying.
Yeah, I know.
The funny voice.
And the cartoon music in the background.
Yeah, that's funny, Sammy the stem cell. So we're going to talk to Jim Walcott in a couple of minutes, but let's go over a couple of things. Do we have time to do any bit of news story? Well, you know, it was pretty interesting that George Bush didn't go to Rosa Parks' funeral, yet Bill Clinton, John Kerry, they both showed up.
Yeah.
Because that's what they do. They show up at important events.
Well, you know, I don't really want to go into this because it would take too long and it might end up being too ugly. But there's a certain thing that happens when black preachers get at a very big public event. It's called jockeying for the camera.
Okay.
To make sure that they are the ones that are seen at this particular event. And I saw a lot of that yesterday. I got to tell you, there were guys, you know, elbowing here. You know, you thought they were in the NBA or something.
Was there one that actually was being held up by Kerry and Clinton?
No. This is an intra-racial situation. This is only black preachers fighting other black preachers for the best possible position. I've seen this at other events like this where, you know, somebody like Hillary Clinton shows up or the former president shows up. And all of these guys, well, hey, you know, I've been preaching at this church for 100 years. How come I can't stand next to him? How come I don't get the chair next to him?
Well, thank God they're jockeying for Democratic attention as opposed to Republican faith-based initiative money.
Well, no, they get that too.
Goes both ways.
Hey, this is money for the congregation here.
Yeah,
you
right.
know, whatever they got
to
do.
But that money comes
some
with
of them.
Price.
It's not all black preachers. Right. Don't let me stereotype here. But you know who you are.
That's right. And you might get an Oreo cookie thrown at you.
That's right. Or a do-rag.
All right. We got Jim Walker from Vanity Fair is going to come up and talk to us about media and culture. We always love having him. I'm looking forward to it. So stick around. It's 27 past the hour. It's Morning's Edition live at O'Neill's Restaurant on 64th Street.
Yeah.
Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hey.
It's Air America Radio's Morning Citizen Program, broadcasting live from O'Neill's on 64th Street between Broadway and Central Park West. We've got about a half hour more to our last live broadcast. I'm all jacked up on coffee, man. Hey, look, let me just tell you people out there, if you want to take some action, look, we just read this. There's a poll out today that if Samuel Alito were to vote to reverse Roe v. Wade, Americans would not want the Senate to confirm him by 53% to 37%. That means there are Republicans and Democrats on board with that opinion. Call your senator. Here's toll-free number for the U.S. Senate, 1-877-762-8762. 877-SOB-USOB. Dig it. All right? Get on that. Get on that. Scare your senator, Republican or Democrat. Let's get bipartisan on getting rid of this guy. Our next guest is a contributing editor at Vanity Fair. He's also the author of Attack Poodles and Other Media Mutants, looking at the looting of the news in a time of terror. You can check out his musings on his blog, www.jameswalcott.com. But right now, you can hear him muse live with us here at O'Neill's. Jim Walcott, welcome back to Morning Citizen.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hey, Jim.
So, Jim, we're all witnessing an amazing, beautiful train wreck of Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing more exciting than to see this happen. Where do you think it started?
I think we're going to look back and see that there is a real curse of Terri Schiavo. Because when you look back on the whole Terri Schiavo thing, because first of all, that was something that they thought was a dead certainty for them. It was like they could not go wrong. And when they talk about now playing to the base, they played to the base on that one. You know, and remember, everybody associated with it has come out looking bad. And I mean, Bill Frist is now being investigated by the SEC.
Criminal.
He was the one who said, well, based upon my medical experience and looking at the monitor, I can tell that she's actually fully, you know. And then you have Rick Santorum made a fool of himself. He's probably going to go down to defeat.
Fascist.
There's a guy. And Bush, of course, looks terrible. And you look back and you realize not really much has gone well since Terri Schiavo. And they were shocked at when the polls came against them on that.
And Tom DeLay's going down too, he actually bought a judge yesterday. He paid for a judge to come out of retirement.
I know. You know what Gore Vidal says? Hear DeLay gone tomorrow.
I hope so.
Jim, wasn't Schiavo maybe the apex of Republican overreaching? I mean, they've overreached before. Newt Gingrich has overreached. Mm-hmm. We've seen this happen before where Republicans get some critical mass between the legislative and executive branches. Isn't that what we're seeing now?
Well, yeah, I think what really threw them off their game, because one of the things is that Democrats have bought into this, the idea that these guys are so incredibly brilliant. They have such an incredibly well-oiled machine. And then when the machine breaks down a little bit, you realize, boy, no, they screw up a lot more than we thought.
Thanks for pointing that out. It's important because there's a lot of people, and I know some of them are in this room, and like myself, even when they screw up, you're like, oh, this is Roe's plan. This isn't a real screw-up. See, he planned to screw up so we wouldn't know that he's going to the bathroom right now. Yeah. You understand? That's why there's bird flu. It's because Roe is running everything. This is not a screw-up.
Well, you know, it's like I've heard people on some of the blogs, you know, the people who post in the comment section, they'll say, yeah, well, okay, they got Libby, but suppose they convict him. It doesn't really matter because Bush will just pardon them and nothing will ever change. It's like, God, they're already whining three steps ahead. I mean, like, why not wait? You know, if we go to trial, a lot of interesting things will happen in the trial. Things always come out in discovery, you know?
Yeah.
So there is a defeatist mode. We've allowed Republicans to walk around as if, like, well, we're indestructible, you know?
That's hilarious, whining three steps ahead.
Speaking of discovery, Jim, like some people look very closely at President Bush himself, not just what he says, but the way he looks and how he acts and how he presents himself to the American people. What conclusions have you come to of late in terms of how this guy has been functioning?
He's on blow.
Well, no, see, I think it's the opposite. I think he may have. I think we may have a zombie president at this point. I think he may have. You know, there's a theory that Nora Ephron has, and she admits it's based on no evidence whatsoever, which is really the best kind of theory.
Yeah, right.
Because, you know,
you're talking to the right people.
But her theory is that Bush, first of all, and also you can see this in that book called Bush on the Couch. Bush gave up alcohol, but he never really dealt with alcoholism psychologically.
We tried to get him recovered here on the show.
Yeah. Oh, no, you made valiant efforts to reach out.
Yeah, nothing.
He never went into AA. Exercise was his way of managing himself. That was his discipline of dealing with it. And Nora Ephron's theory is that the exercise mode has broken. I mean, first of all, have you ever seen a president who's like so insistent, well, I've got to have 2 hours to do my biking each day?
He's a male anorexic.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a male anorexic. And also, he always seems to fall off the bike in places where no, there are no cameras, you don't see him, and then all of a sudden he's got bruises. It's like, well, wait. So her theory is that the exercise regimen is no longer working and that he may be on some sort of antidepressant medication, because when you see him now, Bush, in public, first of all, he's very muted. A lot of people on antidepressants become sort of muted versions
of
themselves.
But this has been a long time, Jim. I've been talking. I hate to say that Nora Ephron caught my riff, because he's been doing this. This has been going on 2 years. I think because of his connections, family-wise, to big pharmaceutical companies, they've created a special presidential super drug that he is on.
Well, it could be because, you know, if you look at old footage of Bush, I mean, you may not like Bush, but if you look at old footage, he was much more engaged, much more on top of it. Now, it's like he really is literally like his body is phoning it in. And he also has that weird tick, which Harry Shearer and other people point out, where when under stressful situations, the jaw starts twitching to the side, and, you know, they start counting him.
I have to say again that I pointed that out 2 years
clearly,
ago. It's all about me, Jim.
But really, you have not gotten a credit.
It's blowjaw is what it is. That's it's right. Like, you know, anyone who's done coke, and I think a couple of people.
Oh, right? Wait a minute.
have had the one friend that's sort of like, hey, what's going on, man, with the jaw working, and you can't go out with them because they're blowing your cover. Well, I think Bush may be back on the yayo, if you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. If not that, certainly some pharmaceutical version of it that's easier to take and doesn't require him sitting over a mirror. Chopping.
Well, you know, imagine the pressure he's under. He's about to go to what, Argentina, right? Mm-hmm. He knows everybody there hates him.
Right? Blow.
I mean, you know, he's going to be on the plane going, when I land, everyone in that country will hate me. You know, and in the past, when Americans have been sort of abused by the locals, there's a backlash. We Americans get very defensive, like, how dare these people? Now people are like, give them a hard time. But, you know, I mean,
finally, that shows me, Jim, that the sort of fear mode has worn off, that there was a terror mode in people's minds, that it was not only un-American, but it wasn't good for you. To speak out publicly against this president anywhere in the world, because he was holding this threat of terrorism over the minds. He had a secret spell on everybody. But now the spell is breaking, and people around the world and in this country are sort of like, yeah, screw that guy. Who the hell is that guy?
Oh, yeah. No, he's completely lost that.
Thank God.
Aura. Yeah. No,
now, Jim, do you think that this man, there are now people who are seriously debating in the White House whether or not Karl Rove should stay, even if he doesn't get indicted in the end. Mm. Do you think this man can function absent Karl Rove?
No, and the fact is, you would think that would actually bother Bush's pride a little bit, because it's like, I mean, because it used to be, somebody pointed out the contradiction. People used to say, oh, no, Karl Rove's a very good advisor, but really it's all Bush. Bush is the man. Bush is the dynamism. And then when everything fell apart for like 2 or 3 weeks with Harriet Myers, everybody went, oh, my God, without Karl Rove, they got nothing.
Yeah.
No one, they're like wandering around the White House. And, you know, you see Ken Melman. Ken Melman is clearly a robot. The president remains focused. He's focused. He says that judo chopping. Focus. He's focused on the issues. And clearly, without Karl Rove, you know, they got nothing. So it's like they clearly are very scared of. And in fact, the way the Republicans all acted afterwards, like, oh, thank God.
That's interesting.
Karl Rove dodged a bullet, you know.
That's interesting.
We don't care if the vice president gets indicted. As long as Karl.
It's interesting, the robotic element of Melman and Bush, because it seems to me that the more, you know, someone has to hide, they have very little choice other than to, you know, break down crying or act like a robot. And Bush is clearly hiding everything, and Melman is clearly hiding his sexuality at the very least.
Mm-hmm.
So,
uh-oh.
You know, it seems to me that in relation to that, if you're going to lie that much, you know, you got
Well, everybody around Bush gets that robotic thing. Nobody is more robotic than Karen Hughes. People say Karen Hughes is scary. You know, and Karen Hughes even has Bush's blue eyes. You know, she's like, the president remains focused. He's focused, you know. And she's very repetitious and very, and they say that, well, in fact, Tucker Carlson said, Karen Hughes will lie to your face and you'll stare at her in disbelief. And she shows no inkling that, you know, it's like you've caught her in the lie.
That's pathological, isn't it?
It is very pathological. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about it in a minute, because I want to keep you around for a second and continue the conversation about the newfound nads of the news media. Do you think that fearlessness that we're talking about on an international level in terms of just the people is really starting to rub off on the news media? Because it seems like they're kind of doing their job. But let's address that in a second with Jim Walcott, the contributing editor of Vanity Fair. Rod O'Neill, stay with us.
Yeah.
It's Morning Sedition. It's our last live broadcast. And we'll continue our conversation with Jim Walcott momentarily. It's 45 past the hour.
You're listening to Morning Sedition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley.
Is it possible for you to shut the f*** up for 10 seconds?
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Good morning. It's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. That's my buddy Mark Riley.
Hey.
You're listening to Air America. We're coming to you live from O'Neill's Restaurant on 64th Street between Broadway and Central Park West. Had a great morning. This is the last few minutes we're going to be here. We're in the middle of a conversation with Jim Walcott, who you know is the contributing editor of Vanity Fair magazine, also his book, Attack Poodles and Other Media Mutants, The Looting of the News in a Time of Terror. Talk about the looting of the news. Talk about the news media stepping up to the plate right now. Is this a theme that you think is going to continue happening, given that, you know, finally everybody hates Bush? Now they're going to be like, hey, maybe it's okay for us to be critical, or at least be honest.
I think it'll continue for time, but we have to watch out for something, which is that it begins to look so bad for Bush that there starts to be a pity movement, you know? And the way...
I can't stand when people...
That's impossible.
But some people are like that. There are people in this country that refuse to blame him for all the crap that goes on right in his office. Well, they're like, but George is, like, stupid.
And I'll tell you who'll do it. The ones you have to watch out for, not the hardline conservatives. You got to watch out for a David Broder. You got to watch out for Tom Oliphant. You got to watch out for Richard Cohen of the Washington Post. They'll start talking about how, yes, Bush has made mistakes, but the United States cannot afford a failed presidency at a time when there are so many challenges. And they will, I'm telling you, they will do this. They will get on the talk shows and they will start talking about the beleaguered president, the age on his face. His face has aged. There's a graying. There's a somberness, a gravity. And they're going to start. I'm not saying we have to buy into it, but they're going to start doing it. And because I saw this, you know, a little bit. Because the thing which you have to ask yourself is, what would a failed presidency be for Bush compared to what a successful presidency would be? A successful presidency for Bush would be awful for the rest of us, because it would all be, for him, success would mean I name 3 more judges to the Supreme Court. I reform Social Security until I ruin it. I get rid of this thing. You know, I get rid of all environmental protection. You know, all the things that would work for Bush to make it his presidency successful would be disastrous for us. So my feeling is, let's float. Let's float dead in the water for a couple of years.
Well, here's the hope.
You know,
and
wait till I wait, because, you know, otherwise he might launch another war. He might to get him his
polar. The bird flu, dude. You know? It's the bird flu. If they've got the vaccine, they've got the bug. So you know what I mean? I'm not being a conspiracy theorist or anything, but I'm feeling a little under
the weather. But let's face it, this is something Michael Moore's been very good at. He shows how the culture of fear permeates everything.
Right.
Because if you watch local news long before the bird flu, is there danger in your medicine cabinet? You know, and then they'll show somebody opening the medicine cabinet. It'll be something like, that household medication that you think is safe may, in fact, be a killer.
But that's sweet. You know?
And so now you bring the bird flu, and it's like,
which
adding
medicine?
That on to the fear.
Which medicine is dangerous?
Well, you know, you think that cold medication.
Yeah, well, I have those.
I'm telling you, well, it's been known to in some people.
Oh, I'm in trouble.
You know?
Wait, that cold medicine is just booze, isn't it?
Well, look, Jim, it's great talking to you. Thanks for coming by.
Yeah,
the book is out in paperback. I know I just got it in paperback. Attack Poodles and Other Media Mutants, The Looting of the News in a Time of Terror.
Of course, you can always read Jim Walcott's stuff in Vanity Fair. Go to www.jameswalcott.com. Tim Robbins has stopped by to say hello. Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Good morning.
I appreciate it. He's holding up the M&M Forever sign that somebody made. Yeah, what are you doing? You just getting up? Did you just bring the kids to school or something?
Yeah, I was just driving by.
Oh, thanks.
Oh,
wow. Thanks for coming
I'm parked illegally outside.
Uh-oh.
I'll charge the ticket to Air America.
Yeah, you'll
get paid.
Just address it to Danny Goldberg in the corner office.
Easy now.
I'm kidding. Come on, man. I'll pay for it right now, Tim. I'll pay for it. How much you need, buddy? I just want to raise people's awareness of this because I think it's important to know that 35% is where Bush's approval rating is right now. All right?
Yeah.
That's almost as low as Nixon's, and he's going to get there eventually. This is an even funnier number is in terms of Dick Cheney. He's at 19%. Now, you know what's profound about that to me is that even Republicans knew that Dick Cheney was running the damn country to begin with, running it into the toilet, by the way. So how can they possibly make Bush a sympathetic character when Dick Cheney is that screwed as well? It just seems to me, I'm sorry, I'm sucking you back into the conversation, Jim, even though I gave you an outro.
Yeah, I know.
That it seems to me that people have to be completely stupid if there are any left that believe in Bush at all or believe in this administration at all. They've got to be clearly almost retarded, and I'm using that in the proper way.
Well, the scary thing is when you meet them and you realize there's no way to communicate. I mean, it really is, you know, it's like you are speaking a different language. But you know, the thing is people say, well, at a certain point, there'll be a base. But maybe there's no base. Maybe we're going to go down to, maybe it'll be like with Bush's poll numbers with black, you know, black Americans, where it's like
2%.
2%. And within the margin of error, as people have pointed out, it could be negative.
Right.
You know?
Well, look, here, let's try and wrap things up a little bit here. Thanks again, Jim. Well, I want to thank everyone here at O'Neill's. Did a great job serving you people and hosting us. Luis Estrada, Luis Gomez, Kumal Uden, Juan Portalatin, Hayes Taylor, Mike O'Neill. I want to thank my guys. You got Brendan and Kalo and Lucy and Dave and Kent and Jim and everybody.
Don't
here.
Forget John Neil, Primmings. Man. Don't forget Neil.
Neil, thank God, has kept Fanny away from me until the end of the show, and we'll talk to her in a minute. Right now, it's time. Can I hear the sound, please? Here's time for this week's liberal agenda. Here's the facts from the Streisand compound giving us our marching orders for the week. 1. Oppose the appointment of Samuel Alito while reassuring everyone of your utmost respect for the contributions of Italian Americans and indeed anyone from the Mediterranean region. 2. For show and tell, have your 8-year-old read from Scooter Libby's steamy erotic novel.
Hey, wait a minute. I got an 8-year-old.
Yeah, she's not going to know. They don't know what it really means. 3. Die of avian flu rather than buy medicine if Donald Rumsfeld makes money from it. 4. Find the Al-Qaeda leader who escaped prison. Tell him you can't run around free and attack the America. You've got to stay in jail and testify against your prison guard. Where are your priorities? All right, and 5, once you start next week, organize a nationwide King Kong fake ape cruelty demonstration.
Oh.
Yeah, and phrase of the day, just drop this into conversation. Secret prisons, wake up, people. There's been a secret prison for years. It's called George Bush's America. I want to thank Tim Robbins for coming down again.
Yeah,
thank you, Jim Walcott. Thank you, Mark Crispin Miller. Thank everybody. Uncle Carl is here. Shelly dropped by.
Yeah.
Jamie is here.
Now you're out tomorrow.
Yeah. Who do you got tomorrow? We got
Eton Thomas from the Washington Wizards.
Yeah.
Basketball player, Congresswoman Maxine Waters. And who else? Zach Goldsmith from the Ecologist magazine. So we're going to have fun.
Always fun.
Thank you all. Thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it. This is Air America Radio.